The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is from Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, "Look, These many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our text today is Luke chapter 15, 1 to 3 and 11 to 32, our gospel lesson just read. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the most famous of Jesus' parables is recorded in our gospel lesson this morning, the prodigal son. In our modern age, certain aspects of this story are lost on most hearers. The reason for this is that in America, we have no universal law of inheritance, and most young adults leave home when they can fend for themselves. In Jesus' day, the pattern of leaving home was different. Normally, the oldest son inherited the majority of the estate. He was expected to stay home and help his dad as an apprentice. When his parents could no longer manage the business, the older brother took up the management of the business, the farm, or the ranch. Among the Israelites, the law stated that where there were two brothers, the oldest received 2/3 of the estate, and the younger received 1/3. That's Deuteronomy 21, verse 17. According to this law, then, the younger brother could leave home with his share and seek his fortune elsewhere in the world. There was nothing prodigal or sinful about that. It was the normal thing to do. Where the younger brother in Jesus' parable got into trouble was that instead of getting a job or apprenticeship, working hard, living frugally, and investing his inheritance, he decided to party and live life to its fullest. Though unemployed, he ate at the richest restaurants, bought and wore the finest clothes, lodged at the Ritz, purchased an Arabian horse, gambled at casinos, partied every night with his friends, and soon all of his inheritance was gone. When a severe famine hit, the country went into an economic depression, and he was not able to sell any of his luxury possessions except at a severe loss, and there were no jobs to be found anywhere. The younger brother finally found a job, but for a Jew, it was about the worst imaginable. He had to feed the pigs, which for the Jews meant that he was perpetually unclean. This was a job that normally was given to slaves or to non-Jewish foreigners. Due to his uncleanness, he was treated as a leper by his countrymen. His wages were so small that he was perpetually hungry, and he would have eaten the pig's food, but his boss, if his boss would have let him do that, but he would not. In this state of abject poverty and humiliation, the younger son realized that he had been a fool and that he had brought disgrace to his family. The Jewish society was like many Oriental societies in which honor was very important, maybe the most important thing of all. When he returned home and met his father, the younger son confessed to his father his sin of dishonoring his parents. It was a violation of the fourth commandment, and thus also a sin against God. And so that's why he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. That's verse 21. The father immediately forgave his son without any reprimand. The father called for the servants to whip up a celebration for the return of his long-lost son. The older son had been working in the fields that day. When he returned home in the evening, he was puzzled to hear merrymaking in the house. While washing up, he asked a servant what was going on. The servant reported the good news, but the older son refused to join the party. The father came out and pleaded with his older son to come in and see his younger brother. The story ends there, so we never know if the older brother went in to celebrate with the prodigal son or not. Why was the older brother angry and refused to greet his brother? Well, the answer is simple. He was concerned that if his brother stayed, his parents would divide his part of the estate and give it to the younger what belonged by law to the older brother. He thought the younger brother was coming back to get another part of the estate. His father knew that this was his concern, and so he said, "Son, you will always be with me. Everything that I own belongs to you." That was the older brother's share. In other words, he was saying, "Don't worry about your portion of the estate. We're not going to give any portion of it to your brother. Your place in the family and your income and estate is assured." Okay, that's the cultural meaning of the parable. But what does it mean to us today? It is a response to the first three verses of our text, in which the tax collectors and other sinners came close to Jesus to listen to his teaching. Seeing this, the scribes and Pharisees complained about Jesus, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So the parable of the prodigal son is a response to that complaint. My interpretation of this parable is that Jesus agreed with the scribes and the Pharisees. The complaint about Jesus was, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And so Jesus is telling the parable to tell them, "Yes, I agree with you. I receive sinners and I eat with them." The applied message within the context of Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of heaven is this: when I enter into my kingdom and glory, I will continue to receive sinners and eat with them. So do you have a problem with that? And that's the question that this parable poses for you today. Many of you, perhaps most of you, have been born and raised as Christians. You have faithfully attended church, heard the sermons, received the sacraments, contributed your offerings year after year. And that should count for something, shouldn't it? But then you see some person whose sin you know, and they're going to church, or they're coming here. Perhaps they are irresponsible and neglect the needs of their family. Or maybe they just never attend church. Perhaps they have had children out of wedlock, and you know it. Perhaps they live together with a person of the opposite sex without marriage. Perhaps they are homosexual. Perhaps they take illegal drugs or are involved in that trade. Perhaps they have committed criminal acts and have been imprisoned, and you know it. Why should they be here in the church? You might think, is it fair that such people may be saved and receive the same eternal destiny as somebody like myself, who has always been a responsible citizen, good parent, hardworking employee, and faithful church member? And then with this parable, Jesus is saying, no, it is not fair. God's mercy is never fair. The definition of mercy is not to give to someone what they deserve. It is to give to them what they don't deserve. Think about that. God forgives your sins and receives you as his child whenever you repent of your sin and believe in the forgiveness offered through the suffering and death of Jesus. This is what we mean when we say that you receive the grace of God for Jesus' sake through faith. So this is the basic formula of how we describe salvation. One, the grace of God, which means God is being merciful instead of punishing you as you deserve. Two, for Jesus' sake, which means how and why God is being merciful to you. That is, through the suffering and death of Christ on the cross and his perfect obedience. Three, through faith, which refers to the instrument or means by which you receive the promise of salvation. Faith is not a virtue that contributes merit to your salvation. It is simply the instrument that receives what is promised by God in the gospel. God's attitude is that he wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. When you know about someone who rejects God and the gospel, or who is living in public unrepentant sin, you should not be pleased that they're going to receive their just desert someday. You should have pity on them, pray for them, and encourage them to repent, to be baptized, and receive the gospel. You always need to remember that you are a sinner too. You'll only be saved because of Jesus' merit, not because of your good behavior. Thanks be to God that he forgives you all your sins and the sins of all believers through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.